Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin, here with my co-host James Haskell. In this episode, we're going to discuss what are the realistic expectations for Odell Beckham Jr. in the 2023 season for the Ravens, because I think a lot of people are, it's like two camps. It's like some people are really excited about Odell coming here and have high expectations, and others are kind of tempered in their expectations with the recent injury, the fact that he's getting older. But then there's the contract. Right? It's a lot of money. So people are saying with this money comes extra expectations for the player and his expected success. So, Jimbo, first and foremost, how are you? And we got to explain to the fans because they've been wondering where the heck we been.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you guys might know this, but been doing a little bit of traveling and I'm on my way back. Getting closer to Maryland. I think we're on the Eastern time zone now, just headed into Illinois. So we're doing all right from a time perspective. But doing good, man. Doing good and looking forward to getting back home. So I appreciate that. But how are you doing? Hanging in there?
Yeah, doing good. The O's are in the middle of a four-game win streak after, kind of going through their toughest part of the season so far. So it's nice to see them getting back in the right direction. And of course, Adley Rutschman will be in the Home Run Derby on Monday, so everybody tune in and
awesome.
It'll be exciting to watch the O's get some true representation over All-Star Weekend, not just the necessary required one member representation that we've been having over the last few years. So it's certainly a good time in Baltimore, but we're not here to talk O's. We're here to talk Baltimore Ravens football. Yeah. So Jimbo, I mean, look, he gets the $15 million with the possible $18 million in incentive bonuses, which seem relatively achievable. So when you start thinking about OBJ's expectations, like how do you, because we haven't seen him in quite some time, but this is a guy who's had maybe more success in the first few years of his career than any receiver. So what's your thoughts on how you start looking at the expectations for him?
Yeah, just like you said, it's kind of been interesting how people have fallen into two camps, and there doesn't seem to be too many people splitting the two. So I feel like a lot of people are, not from a contract standpoint, but from a production standpoint, a lot of people, I think, would say, fall in the camp of he's going to be a leader, a red zone vet, and a guy that is going to be a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, something like that, in this tree, in this room that we currently have. But, and then the other people, I think that he's going to get hurt, right? That's just what the two scenarios are, which is unfortunate. I don't want the guy to get hurt, obviously. Even if he wasn't a Raven, you don't really root for anyone to get hurt. But the one thing that I'm surprised about with all of this, when you think about his expectations, is the fact that really the only thing that's derailed him in his career is health. I mean, anytime he's had relatively healthy seasons, he's put up production, and like you said, early on in his career the numbers were incredible, but even in the middle part of his career he still had some solid years. And so I'm surprised, my first thought is I'm surprised that there aren't more people going all in on the fact that this is the first time this guy's had over a calendar year to recover from a major knee injury, and looks to be in absolutely incredible shape. So if he's mitigated the risk of injury, why isn't sky the limit? Like, that's the question for me to start out, right? Like, my thought is that why can't he get back to OBJ form? Why can't he, be a all pro, pro bowl type guy and put up? Why not, in my mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's got an opportunity here. When I was thinking about his success, I kind of looked back at some of Todd Monken's along the way, and it's not easy just to use those as a predictor for the future, because a lot of his stops, he wasn't necessarily the guy when it came to play calling and being in total control of the offense. When he was in Tampa, Dirk Cutter was a heavy influence, being the head coach that was hired because of his offense, and the same in Cleveland with Freddie Kitchens. But that's all we really have to look back on. That, and of course, Georgia, his stops in Georgia. So when I look back at 2019, his lone season as the OC in Cleveland, he had Odell Beckham Jr. on his team, and Jarvis Landry led the team with 138 targets, but Odell was right behind him with 133. And this is the part I find interesting, Jimbo, that the third leader and the third and fourth leader in target share in 2019 were the two running backs. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb were what, third and fourth in targets for the season. So it was clearly number one and number two with Jarvis and Beckham, and then a massive drop off to the point where the running backs were the next two highest targeted. So do you view him as, like, if this is how Todd Monken runs his offense, where it's like the top guys get the most targets, do you view Odell Beckham at this point as one of the two top guys from a pass catching standpoint? And that includes Mark Andrews. So you got Bateman, Andrews, you got Zay Flowers, and then you got Odell. Do you view Odell as one of the top two pass catchers on the team right now?
Man, being as objective as possible, you can't. I don't believe there's any case that you can say no to that question. You have to say yes, because the other guys haven't been, they're not proven commodities yet in this league, right? Like, so health aside, any sort of, other opinions about Odell Beckham Jr. aside, him purely as a football player, anyone that answers this question, I think has to say yes. It's one, two, him and Mark. And that's a great point you bring up, because ultimately what it's going to come down to is how much trust OC has in him, how much trust Lamar has in him, and then what the team asks him to do. So I've kind of gone back and forth on what his role will be on this team, but I've really come to the conclusion that there's a high likelihood that he ends up, you know, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's called upon a lot more than we are thinking that he will be called upon at this point as a Ravens fan base. I think that he'll be taking more of the lion's share of these targets than maybe we initially anticipated. So yeah, I think that's fair to say that he's a top two target on this team. I mean, do you see it otherwise?
Well, I think there's a chance that Todd Monken could see it otherwise. And the reason I say is, yeah, if you look at his time last year with Georgia, the leading target getter, you know, was Brock Bowers, you know, their tight end. So yep, it's clear that if he views a tight end, however he views the best receiving target, they're going to be the lead dog. So he could look at Mark Andrews as, that's my best receiving target for Lamar.
Yeah.
He's going to get, you know, he's going to get number one target share. And then he could look at Rashad Bateman. I'm just saying he could, and say,
sure,
man, this guy, you know, he's a lot younger. He's an accomplished route runner. And if he's healthy throughout camp, he could say, that's my number two target getter. And then he could be, yeah, blown away by Zay Flowers. So I just wonder, you know, kind of how he views his group, because that's, I think, part of the reason why Monken is here, is because he's malleable. He'll take whatever the best he's got, no matter the position, and he'll make them the highlight and, you know, the kind of the star of his offense. So I'm just, because I look at Odell as, like, maybe he doesn't command the targets, but he still will have to command the respect of the defense. Mm-hmm. And so even if he's not as highly targeted as he has been in past stops, the defense can't fall asleep on him because of who he is. And as long as, right, he's out there and healthy enough to play, he'll still command their respect and their attention without even necessarily getting the target share that he's gotten in the past. So I think he could be in for less targets, but still have a massive impact and still have high yards per catch and still be a threat as a touchdown receiver. So I wonder, do you think it's possible he could have maybe the third or fourth most targets, but still be number one or two in touchdowns?
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. I think that when healthy, same thing, based on his athletic ability, his route running, and then his catch radius, which is, we all obviously know, it's stupid, and his hands are insane. He's just an issue in the red zone. I mean, he's just a problem, right? He's so good in that space, just in a one-on-one type scenario, because the ball can be thrown anywhere, right? And 9 times out of 10, the cornerback's not getting it. You know, Odell's coming down with it. So, I can absolutely envision that. It's just the fun part about this video to me and this conversation is that we literally have very little idea of what this offense is going to look like from a wide receiver standpoint. Because, you know, we've talked about like position battles and things, but these three guys at the top end, and of course, even with Nelson Agholor nipping at their heels, there's going to be a real healthy competition and battle to see who ends up being the guy that plays each role, right? Does it just simply come down to Odell being the decoy, or does that camp, he looks so healthy and so good that they're like, dude, there's no that just like you said, Monken says, there's no way I'm not giving 70% of the balls that are going to the wide receiver to this guy because he's head and shoulders above everyone else right now. Like, it's so interesting to see how that will play out. Some of that's going to come down to Monken, obviously, but the other part is going to be how these guys do at camp. How's their health? How's their, you know, how quickly can they pick up on the offense? How's their connection with Lamar Jackson? But I'm telling you, man, the one thing that I think overall we are underestimating as a fan base is that if Odell is healthy, I think he does end up being more of a ends up being relied upon even more than I think we are anticipating at this point. When I say we, I mean like as a fan base for the Ravens. I think a lot of people are considering him like, you know, a secondary piece. And I think that there's a very high that even with all three of them healthy, if he balls out, that he ends up just being the number one guy from a wide receiver standpoint, like the number one guy, you know, however you want to categorize that. But it's exciting to think about, man. He's been so productive his whole career when he's been healthy. It's just ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I mean, this guy burst into this league and kind of just took everything, you know. If you just look at his first 3 years, you'd say he's going on to be the greatest receiver of all time. I mean, that's how good he started his career.
Yeah.
Of course, has had big seasons since then as well. Well, let me ask you this, Jimbo, because I think what's interesting is it in Cleveland, again, 138 targets for Landry, 133 for Odell Beckham, and third was Nick Chubb with 49, almost 100 targets less.
Yeah,
going from second to third. So it's a massive drop off. So let me ask you this, Jimbo. In 2019, he had 74 catches for a little over 1,000 yards, only four touchdowns in his lone season under Todd Monken. What would you view? Let's say hypothetically he plays in 15 of the 17 games, right? He plays in the majority of the games. What is the low number for you from a reception standpoint, yards and touchdowns, where you won't view it as a disappointment or a guy who didn't live up to the contract he was given?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say 70 is probably a solid number from a reception standpoint. I think right around there. Yeah.
So yards, that would mean that 65 would feel like a disappointment. Is that true? Okay, so 70 catches, 800 yards, 9 touchdowns. That is one hell of a season, let me tell you. I think Ozzie Newsome would sign up for that, as well as Eric DaCosta, in an absolute heartbeat.
And do you think over the top?
Well, I mean, I think 70 is a high number, only because he only had 74 when he had 133 targets in 2019. So yeah, 70,
that was with Baker Mayfield throwing him the ball.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So, that's like, not, like,
you know, we saw that mixtape, right? We all saw that.
Yeah. We've seen some low lights. But let me ask you this, Jimbo. Does that mean you look at 65 catches as a disappointment or a letdown?
No, this is what I'll say. I'm trying to figure out how I measure impact and the way that he'll carry the room. I think that the 9 number is a higher indicator for me. I really think he's going to do a lot for us in the red zone. Is where I think he's going to do a lot. But I also think that the yards could – man, so I'm not as caught up on the receptions. If I were to rank them, touchdowns, obviously, number one. But the yards is another thing, too, because the way that you maintain the respect of the defense outside of the red zone if you're Odell is making a lot of those receptions. So if you don't get a – you got to get a slant and take it 50. You got to get a slant and show you still got the burst. Like, that's how you keep defenses up at night, outside of them thinking, okay, well, if we're out of the red zone, Odell's not getting the ball type thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is how they utilize him. So that's how you maintain high impact. So he's got to keep his yards per reception up, in my opinion, So I don't know if I would be disappointed if the receptions are lower, but if the yards and the touchdowns get lower, then I would be concerned. I would be a little, not concerned, but disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is kind of how the Rams used him when he was there, because even though, you know, he was only with the Rams for 8 games and only had 27 catches, but he had 5 touchdowns in those 27 catches. Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's a big number when that's like, what, 20% of your catches were touchdowns? I mean, that's an insanely high number when you just look at how many catches versus touchdowns. So I think you're right. I would put the receptions for me at around 50 because there's just so many mouths to feed. Like, I will say this. I love the fact that OBJ and Lamar Jackson, at least from what we're seeing, seem to be great friends already. The chemistry is being built already, you know, to this point, and they have so much time before they actually need to have it. So I think that's encouraging. But I think 50 is a good number because Zay Flowers is also building that chemistry right now with OBJ and Lamar Jackson down in Florida. We already know Mark Andrews has it, you know, no problem. I think I think when you look at the history of Todd Monken and how he throws to the backs, we can't just act like the backs aren't going to get 40 targets apiece because they are. I mean, you look at his time everywhere, the backs get involved. So I think just from a target share, there's so many mouths to feed that I just don't see it, even if he's healthy, him getting to that number receptions-wise. But 50 with, like you said, 7 to 9 touchdowns and, let's say, 12 to 15 yards per catch, I think would be a huge success for the Ravens because he's still going to command so much attention. You still have to put your best corner on that guy. You just have to. How could you not? He's going to make them look silly if you don't, if he's healthy, and he looks incredibly healthy and strong right now. So I put it at 50 catches. I'm going to say 700 yards, and I'm going to say 7 touchdowns, but I don't think 9 is unreasonable.
That's fair. I like that a lot. Let me end with this. What's your over-under on the injuries? How many games does he play?
Well, I already put a couple shekels down. I'll be honest. I had a bit of a bet going with someone, and I set the over under at 4.5. So somebody might, you know, people might say I'm crazy. I say he misses, I went the under. So I say he's going to miss 4 games or less is what I'm, and maybe that's just the purple Kool-Aid.
I think that's a good number. Woo, I'm going to go. So you bet the under.
Yeah. I say 4 or less. And he said the over, so he's got 5 or more. Yeah.
I'm going to take the under as well. And like you said, that might be the purple Kool-Aid. But I think really he's had true time to recover.
Yeah.
Recover, that makes a big difference. So I'm excited, man, for all of what Odell Beckham can do this year. He's the ultimate wild card, I think, for our offense. Really excited about it. Let us know what your guys' thoughts are down in the comments, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.